Welcome to Right Now. I'm Stacey Chavel, your host this evening, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
As author of the Think Big Manifesto, what is your definition of thinking big?
Well, for me, thinking big is about being fully self-expressed. And it's really different for everybody, because full self-expression means something different for everybody. And my big and your big and Donald Trump's big, it's all different based on what we value. And so I really think it's important that we define thinking big for ourselves. And I think that if you think about, well, what would make me feel fully self-expressed, fully actualized in this world as a person with full contribution to society at large, I think you'll come up with what big means to you.
Well, how does the Think Big Manifesto differ from other business or self-help books?
Well, that's a good question. I've read a lot of personal development books, business development books, as so many people have, and there's so many that I've just loved and have meant so much to me. But when I started writing, I didn't really feel comfortable writing a personal development book. I did not want to be a personal development guru. I didn't like that idea, and I didn't want that kind of responsibility. I didn't feel that I had earned that in any way. And I wrote three other fortunately successful business books, and that I felt very comfortable doing. But I always had this idea for a manifesto about thinking big, something that would be a call to action, a handbook for a revolution for thinking big. But, you know, it was a big idea, and I thought, so I let these small thoughts get in my way. But over time, I started to feel more and more comfortable with the idea of authoring a manifesto. But it's not a personal development book that gives you a blueprint or a secret that you're, you know, here's the answer and everything will just be perfect. By no means whatsoever. It's really a call to action. And there is a code for thinking big, but it's very organic, it's very natural, and it's a way of being that most people would relate to and understand, but it's often hard to live into because of the fear that we have around thinking big so often. So, with that said, I authored it, but it's not just mine, it's yours, it's everyone's, and I think when you read it, you will turn it into your own manifesto, and you'll start your own revolution for thinking big, but hopefully we'll do it together because that's how the best big things happen.
Well, what inspired you to write the Think Big Manifesto?
I spend a lot of time thinking. So I figure, you know, if I'm going to think big, you know, if I'm going to think, I might as well think big, right?
Right.
But I think the thing that really pushed me towards it was the birth of my son. Because when you have children, as those who have children know, you have this immediate reevaluation of yourself and your place in the world and the world at large and what you believe to be right thinking for the kind of society that you want to develop. And so I'm thinking, well, how am I going to show up for my son? How is the world going to show up for my son? And what's the future going to look like for him? And I thought maybe I need something that will help him once he's able to read, that'll be a manifesto for him to live his life in a big way. And also, you give me this accountability structure. You know, if I'm the author of the Think Big Manifesto, I got to think big. You know, and, you know, we all have small thoughts from time to time. That's super, super natural. So, you know, I got to get up every day and do battle against those small thoughts just like everybody else, just like Oprah and just like the president. And, you know, we all have small thoughts from time to time. But this manifesto could hopefully create this accountability structure so that I could show up for my son in the best way possible. And in turn, then I think, and call me crazy for saying this, but I think, you know, you make the world a better place at the same time because, you know, you touch your family, which touches your community, which touches, you know, your region, which touches your country, which touches, you know, the rest of the world, and it keeps growing from there.
That's wonderful. Let's go on to something even bigger. What is the Think Big Revolution.
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned that the Think Big Manifesto is the handbook for the Think Big Revolution, a call to action. Now, the idea of a Think Big Revolution, you know, seems kind of crazy. I mean, what do you mean a Think Big Revolution, you know? Well, I just think that, you know, that it would be really, really nice if we could rid small thoughts from our vocabulary, from our internal dictionary, and what better way to do that than through a revolution? Because people come together around a cause when they are being revolutionary, and that's different than rebelling, you know, or revolting. Very, very different. Being revolutionary is being innovative. It is collaborating with other people. And that's a big part of this manifesto. It's a big part of doing big things in the world, because if you can do them with other people, it's actually a lot easier. Doing big things by yourself is very difficult. You can have big ideas by yourself, but to actually bring them out into the world so that you're in service of others, you need other people to help you do it. And so thinkbigrevolution.com is the online base of operations for this manifesto. It's free. It always will be. Nobody owns big ideas. So I figured, let me create a platform, a social networking space, as it were, where you can start your own revolution about anything you want, anything that you believe in, as long as you're not hurting anybody, right? That's very important. But all views and positions and are accepted and welcomed. I think it's a very important part of the revolution. And you can, you know, start something that, you know, you can put your meetings up there. You can put your manifesto posts up there. You can put pictures and video and all sorts of things that is going to move your revolution forward. And you can join other revolutions that are in progress at the same time, things that you believe in, things that you're inspired by.
I really like that. Does everyone have the ability to think big?
Yes, absolutely. We all have the ability to think big much, if not most of the time. But I know that thinking big can be scary. It scares me sometimes. There's a lot of responsibility that comes along with thinking big. There's a lot of learning and action that comes along with thinking big. There's a lot of discomfort that comes along with thinking big because you're doing new things. You know, there's a lot of judgment that comes along with thinking big. You know, you put something out in the world in a big way, you're going to get, you know, a lot of people saying they don't like it, they don't like you, and, you know, your ideas are stupid. I mean, these things are part of our culture because they're, you know, we're made up of lots of different types of personalities. Again, hopefully this revolution inspires a movement of big thinkers that is a one-way revolution. It takes from no one and gives to everybody. So it removes small thoughts from people's brains. It takes people... small thinkers who are in power out of power, and it replaces them with people who are big thinkers. But these small thinking people, they really don't lose power. What they lose is fear. They lose the ability to think small, and only then, you know, if you can't think small, the only other way to think would be big. So they become big thinkers too, and then on it goes and on it goes. So it's very revolutionary in its nature. And, you know, again, I know it seems, you know, that I'm an idealist and maybe even delusional, but I would much rather be a big thinker who is an idealist and a dreamer and moving something forward that has meaning than, you know, sit on my hands and say, well, there's no hope, nothing to do. You know, who cares about the future for our children, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, what is the most important thing someone can do to think big?
Well, there's no right first step, and there's no last step. Again, it's not... you know, it's not a secret, it's not a 1, 2, 3 steps or 5 steps or however many steps. It's an organic, natural way of being that we develop. And I call it a code in the manifesto, but it's not a secret code, and it's not a code that follows any order. It's a code that is a natural way of being that is organic, that when you adhere to these kinds of principles, you're able to think big. But I think simply, you know, you can start anywhere at any time in any area of your life just to think a little bit bigger. Even simply the way that, you know, you prepare a meal for your family, it could be different than the way you've done it ever before, and that's big. You know, it could be the way that you decorate your house, that could be big. It could be the way that you talk to you know, the people who work at the coffee shop that you go to. It's there's so many different areas you can start. But I would say this, the single most important act of any one individual thinking big is probably helping others to think big. Because when you help others think big, sometimes you get out of your own sort of neuroses and anxieties, and you can see where other people are thinking small, and you can be supportive and compassionate and help them think bigger. And when you do that, it naturally follows that you do the same, that you start to think bigger if you're helping others think bigger. And when you help someone else think bigger, then they go help someone else think bigger, then they go help someone else think bigger. We all start to think a little bit bigger. And now, what's interesting is that the people around you are thinking bigger, which then forces you to think bigger, which is a great constraint. And I think, so that's where I would start. I would start by just noticing around you the small things that people say, the small ways that people think, and see if you can help support them in thinking a little bit bigger. Or a lot bigger, for that matter.
Well, now, you've had a successful acting career, you've had a successful career in business, and you've had a very successful career as an author. Is this why people should follow your plan for thinking big?
Oh, I don't know. No, I'll say a couple things. Number one, I'm no guru. Let's just be clear about that. I'm just a guy who, you know, who thinks a lot and hopefully is writing about things that are interesting to others and helpful in some way, you know, that I'm in service to other people. That's all I ask. So you don't look to me for your revolution. You look to you for your revolution because you are the revolution. You are whole. You are full of potential. And the only thing I know to be true is that big things are possible and that they're possible for you. That's the only thing I know to be true. But I would say this. You said I had a successful acting career. I guess by some standards, I did okay. I had a modicum of success. I mean, you know, I worked for about 4 years after graduate school. I went to graduate school for acting, and I quit after 4 years. I mean, I did shows like Sex and the City and Third Watch and All My Children and Law and Order, and you know, I was fortunate. I didn't have to have a second sort of job. I was able to make a living acting, but I was so frustrated because I wanted to happen faster, and I wanted the roles to be bigger, and I wanted to have more power and more respect, and I wanted to be in charge of what I got. I didn't like the fact that other people could decide if I was working, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And those were small thoughts, all of them. Every single one of them, small thoughts. Now, you know, certainly, you know, lots of us would love to be in control of everything that happens to us. It's pretty unrealistic to think that that would be the case, no matter how rich and powerful you are, because control ultimately is really an illusion. But I quit, you know, and I had a dream to do certain things as an actor that I did not fulfill in my younger years, and I quit because of small thoughts. And when I reflect back upon, you know, those years, they really inspire me now not to give up, to keep moving forward, to keep battling against these small thoughts, and to recognize the lies that I'm telling myself, that we all tell ourselves, about why something is or isn't. And so I would say, you know, listen to me because I've made a lot of mistakes. That's what I would say there, as opposed to listen to me because I have all the answers. I think, you know, I'm radically transparent in this book. I put my heart on the line, and that's pretty scary, you know, in and of itself. But it gives me the opportunity for full self-expression, which is also powerful at the same time. So again, look to you because you are the revolution.
Well, you've mentioned small thoughts quite a bit. How does one deal with the small thoughts that fill up the space in our brain? You provide hopeful advice and believe that people can help each other, but how do you advise people who believe the opposite?
Okay, well, let's start with what kind of small thoughts we have, right?
Okay.
I mean, there's lots, but let's just look at five insidious small thoughts that maintain the illusion that small thinking is right thinking. Okay, number one, that our past determines our future. The small thought that our past determines our future. It's not true. Number two, the small thought that who we are is not enough, will never be enough, and is somehow shameful. Or, number three, that the small thought that winning requires a loser, that we have to live in this competitive, that we have to live in competitive interactions all the time, not really true. The small thought, number four, that the future is hopeless, that we really can't change the future, that we are not, we don't have the ability to influence, the world in which we live. And number five, the small thought that being realistic or practical means settling for less. And, the reward of this kind of small thinking is unaccomplished dreams. Really, that's the only reward we get from thinking that way. But it is really never too late to abandon our prejudices, to think deeply, again and again, about what is right and what is big for you. So small thinking will always say no, and big thinking will always say yes. So how can you continue to say yes to yourself? So simply getting up each day and saying, I will think big. And when I think small, I will recognize it, and I will go to battle against those small thoughts. I will not let them take over my actions, because that's going to affect the life that I live. So it's not a complicated thing. There's no secret to it, but can we be the kind of people that are open to reflecting on the way we think, and whether we're thinking small or whether we're thinking big? And will we go to battle against these small thoughts? Are we willing to do that?
Well, I guess my next question is, do you follow your own advice?
I try my best. But look, this is, I say this all the time. It's difficult. It's not super easy. I don't think that, maybe there are a few people in the world who will just say, oh, thinking big is just the easiest thing in the world, but I never have a small thought ever. I haven't met them yet. I've met some insanely successful people in my day. I've met the most famous actors you could, think of. I've met, the most successful CEOs you can think of, entrepreneurs, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody that I've talked to about this, and I did a series of 20 interviews with some big, big celebrities about this specifically, and every single one of them said, I have small thoughts all the time. But I go to battle against them. And that's why I feel like I'm able to accomplish the things that I accomplish. So I don't actually remember the question you asked me now, but do I follow my own advice? I try. Again, I try and I try and I try. And I remember I heard Wayne Dyer, who really is a great, great intellect. Someone asked him, they said, I've been trying to quit smoking, Dr. Dyer, and I've been trying, and I haven't been able to do it. What should I do? And he said, keep trying. So the person, wanted some quick fix, but there really are no Band-Aid solutions. There really are no shortcuts. Don't confuse a shortcut for a better way of doing something, right? A better way of doing something is an elegant solution, but a shortcut is a half-baked, patch job, cheating way of doing things, and that is not big thinking, because the big thinkers pursue mastery in everything they do. And those who are in pursuit of mastery will tell you that the more they know, the more they realize they don't know.
True.
So this is a really big part of thinking big. The future belongs to the learner, not the learn-it. If you want to lead, we need to be a learner. We need to follow as much as we lead. We need to submit as much as we have authority or have responsibility. And so there's a constant balance between knowing and learning, knowing and learning. And I think the three most dangerous words that you can put together in one sentence are, I know that. Right? Maybe more dangerous would be, should I jump off that bridge? Maybe that's more dangerous. But I know that it's very dangerous, because it closes off what you might be able to see. Whereas, I don't know, but I'm willing to learn. Or even if it's something that you think you have a good idea about, well, I think I understand, but I want to know more. That's a big way of looking at the world. That's a very big way of looking at the world.
Well, as you mentioned, you have met a lot of celebrities and know a lot of people that could give you advice. What was the most important piece of advice you were ever given?
I would say that all generalities are false. I'd say it's a very important piece of advice that I was given. You know, I also think that, you know, I was told when I was younger that, you know, if you get to thinking you're a person of some influence, try ordering someone else's dog around. Meaning, always try to be, you know, really work to, you know, to humility. There's a difference between a lack of confidence. You can have an enormous amount of confidence and capability and belief in yourself and be very humble. I think, you know, that's very important. You know, when I was younger, I was never really accused of being humble. I was never accused of that. So as I got older, I said, you know, this is something I better work on if, you know, if I want to be a person of some kind of influence, if I want to be out in the world spreading messages and expressing myself. I got to remember to have a healthy dose of skepticism about what I'm thinking so that I think deeply again and again about it.
Well, you've given us a lot of excellent advice today, but what is the best piece of advice you have ever given?
Well, these are good questions. You know, I would say this. You know, when you want to think, when you're thinking big, when you have a big dream, a big goal, something that you really want to move towards, remember that you have to do the work yourself, but you shouldn't do it alone. And I think that's an important distinction. If there are things that we need to work on personally, we have to do the work. Even if you talk to a therapist, even if you talk to your friends or your mentors, your colleagues about it, even if you enlist help from others, you have to do the work yourself. If you want to write a book, even if you have partners who collaborate with them, you have to do the work. But don't do it alone. Very important. And also, I would say it does not take a very big person to carry a grudge. Just remember that as you're moving out in the world and people, you know, bump up against you. It does not take a very big person to carry a grudge.
I would agree with that. How do you advise people who are dealing with layoffs or business failures at this time?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think it's going to get better because we want it to get better, so we'll eventually make it better. I believe that. But again, remember those small thoughts that this idea that the past equals the future, or the present will always be the future, or that the small thought that the future is hopeless in some way, and that there is not enough. There is enough. You are enough. There are enough resources. There will be enough jobs as we create them. But the more that you believe in abundance, the more, comfortable you'll be with the fact that the future is uncertain. Again, I wish there was an easy answer to this, but we know that the future is uncertain, right? We know that prediction is very difficult, especially about the future.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are willing to be comfortable with the discomfort that we're in and take specific, deliberate, big actions towards what we want rather than sitting on our hands, then we will create a future that is pleasing to us. We can't know exactly what the future is going to hold. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, this book, The Think Big Manifesto, is a New York Times bestseller right now. I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Time Magazine called my publicist and wants to talk about the book. I don't know what that means. You don't know. You can't know. It could mean it never happens or something happens, but the future is uncertain. But you've got to be willing to be in this discomfort of just not knowing, but working every day to make your big dreams come true. Because hard work is a good thing, feels good, and it is a big part of doing big things in the world.
Wow, I have really learned a lot from you today, and I wanted to tell you that even though you'll be humble about it, I have been very honored that you took the time to speak with me.
Oh, please.
Thank you.
Really my pleasure. It's an opportunity for me, you know. So I really thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Have a nice evening.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. Have an excellent and productive week.